Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive with us. Today, we'll be exploring a lecture by Dr. John Oswalt, and it's all about the prophet Elisha from, you guessed it, the Book of Kings.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating stuff. Dr. Oswalt, he suggests that Elisha's miracles, they're more than just like spectacle, you know.
Right.
He actually sees them as these powerful glimpses into God's nature, you know, abundant God is.
Yeah.
Even when it doesn't seem like there's enough. You know,
right?
Like when resources are really limited. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, it's really interesting how Dr. Oswalt highlights the parallels between the miracles that Elisha does and the miracles that his mentor Elijah performed earlier.
Oh, okay.
You see, Elijah performs all these miracles in 1 Kings 17, and then Elisha, you know, he comes along and he mirrors those miracles in 2 Kings 4.
Mm.
And Dr. Oswalt, he believes that this placement, it's not an accident.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's really emphasizing that God's work continues.
Okay.
Through both prophets, you know, like almost like passing a baton, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
Like God's power is moving and being demonstrated through different people in different generations.
Yeah. Like it's God's power is being demonstrated. Yeah. In a new generation. Yeah. But with the same power behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, like the wow factor of the miracles themselves, I'm really curious, you know, about what Dr. Oswalt sees as like their deeper meaning.
Yeah, he actually dives into three specific miracles that Elisha performs, and he uses those to kind of illustrate his point.
Okay.
The first one is the story of a widow, and she is just drowning in debt.
Oh, wow.
And Elisha, you know what he does? He provides oil miraculously, you know, and it's enough oil for her to not only pay off all of her debts,
wow,
but also to support herself and her sons.
Wow, that's incredible.
And then there's this poisonous stew incident. Do you remember that one where there's this deadly pot and Elisha, he purifies it and he saves this whole group of prophets from certain death. And then finally, he takes this like meager 20 loaves of bread.
Okay.
And he multiplies them.
Oh, well.
And feeds 100 men with them.
Wow. It's amazing. These miracles. Each one seems to have this like, you know, this common thread running through it.
Yeah.
God intervening to provide, you know, especially for those who are in need.
Yeah. The vulnerable. Exactly.
You're vulnerable. Yeah.
And, you know, Dr. Oswalt, he really emphasizes God's special concern for widows, orphans, and immigrants in these stories. Mm-hmm. And he argues that these groups, you know, they were often marginalized in ancient Israel.
Right.
But they're consistently prioritized by God.
That's really interesting because it seems like it challenges the social hierarchy of the time.
It does.
I wonder, like, does Dr. Oswalt connect this idea of God favoring the marginalized? Does he connect that to the theme of abundance at all?
He does. And it's you see, back then in a society where resources were often very scarce and power was really concentrated in the hands of just a few, these miracles, they make this like radical statement.
Mm.
They're suggesting that God's abundance, it isn't limited by human systems, you know, of power or social status. He can provide for anyone, no matter what their position is in society.
So these miracles, they're not just about, you know, just meeting immediate needs. They're also about like challenging our assumptions, you
yes.
know, about who deserves God's blessing.
Exactly.
It really makes you think, is there like a modern day equivalent to those who are overlooked or marginalized, like in our own society?
That's a great question. And I think that Dr. Oswalt would probably encourage us to look around, you know, and see who in our own communities might be experiencing that kind of scarcity.
Yeah.
And not just materially, but also, you know, emotionally or even spiritually.
Okay. So we've got these incredible displays of God's power, you know, and provision through Elisha. But one thing that really stuck with me in Dr. Oswalt's lecture was this detail that Elisha, he often uses what people already have as like the starting point for his miracles.
Yes. He points out how Elisha asks the widow, "What do you have in your house?"
Yeah.
Before he does the miracle of multiplying her oil.
Right.
And it's similar to that story of Jesus feeding the 5,000.
Yeah.
Where he starts with just a few loaves and fish.
Right.
It seems like God often uses the seemingly insignificant, you know, the little that we already have as the foundation for something incredible.
So it's not about us waiting for this grand miraculous intervention, is it?
Right.
It's about looking at our own, you know, jars of oil, so to speak, our own seemingly meager resources, and asking ourselves, what do I have that God could use?
Precisely. And it's not just about material possessions either, you know. It could be our talents, or, you know, our experiences, or our relationships, even our time.
Yeah.
What might seem small or insignificant to us, that could be the very thing that God wants to use to work a miracle.
I love that idea. It really challenges us to see the potential in the ordinary.
Right.
To trust that God can work through us, you know, even when we feel inadequate.
Exactly. And that brings us to this interesting concept that Dr. Oswalt calls the abundance paradox.
Okay, I'm all ears. What is this paradox all about?
Well, Dr. Oswalt argues that while the Old Testament often emphasizes physical blessings as a sign of God's favor, the New Testament actually shifts the focus to spiritual abundance.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting distinction. But how does that apply to us today? Like, can we experience spiritual abundance even if we're, like, you know, facing material scarcity?
Well, that's the heart of the paradox, isn't it? Dr. Oswalt suggests that true abundance, it transcends, like, our earthly circumstances.
Okay.
And that even amidst material lack, we can experience, you know, just the overflowing richness of God's love, His grace, His peace.
So it's not about, like, denying our physical needs.
Bro.
But it's recognizing that true fulfillment comes from something deeper.
Exactly. It's about shifting our perspective. So instead of focusing on what we lack, can we cultivate gratitude for what we already have?
Uh-huh.
Especially the spiritual blessings that are already available to us.
It makes you wonder, how do we tap into that spiritual abundance? What does that look like in our everyday lives? It's almost like we need to change how we think about wealth or abundance.
That's a really good point. I think Dr. Oswalt would say that true wealth, it isn't measured by, like, how much money you have.
Right.
But by how deep your relationship with God is.
Hmm. That makes me think back to the miracles we talked about, you know, earlier. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just about meeting those, like, immediate needs.
Right.
They often had these like ripple effects.
Yeah.
And they impacted the whole community.
Yeah. Take the miracle of the oil, for example.
Okay.
Not only did it rescue the widow from, you know, like, financial ruin.
Right.
But it also provided for her sons.
Uh-huh.
And maybe it even, like, benefited the people who bought the oil from her.
Right.
You know, it's a beautiful picture of how God's provision can, like, overflow and touch so many lives.
Yeah, and the miracle of the poisonous stew.
Right.
It saved a whole group of prophets.
Yes.
You have to wonder, like, how their ministry, how it continued,
mm-hmm.
how that impacted the community and all the lives they touched.
It really highlights how God can work through like seemingly ordinary people and events to accomplish something extraordinary.
Right.
The miracle itself was remarkable. But the impact it had on the community, the ripple effect, that's something to really think about.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, like, do we limit God by thinking that we don't have anything to offer?
It's easy to fall into that trap, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we look at our lives and we think, what can I possibly contribute?
Yeah.
But remember Elisha.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't perform those miracles on his own.
Right.
He was just a conduit for God's power.
So maybe that's the key.
Yeah.
It's not about our abilities.
No.
But it's about our willingness to be used by God.
Right.
He can take our what seems to us like, you know, insignificant offerings.
Yeah.
And multiply them in ways that we can't even imagine.
Absolutely. And I think that's where, you know, the idea of surrender comes in.
Okay.
It's not just about, you know, recognizing what we have, but about being willing to let go of it, to allow God to use it for His purposes.
Mm-hmm. So it's a two part thing.
Yeah.
We recognize, you know, the jars of oil in our lives, and then we willingly surrender them to God.
Yes.
To trust Him to work through them.
Yeah. And I believe the real miracle, it happens in that act of surrender. It's not simply about, like, resources being multiplied or provision suddenly appearing.
Right.
It's about the internal transformation that happens when we align our will with God's.
Okay.
It's about trusting in His abundance, even when we don't really understand how it's all going to work out.
Thinking about, you know, the abundance paradox,
mm-hmm.
I wonder how the New Testament emphasis on on spiritual abundance, how that plays out, you know, like practically in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
What does that kind of abundance look like when we're, you know, just bombarded with all these messages that tell us that happiness equals material possessions?
It's definitely a countercultural message, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But I think it boils down to this: can we find contentment and joy in our relationship with God, mm-hmm. regardless of our external circumstances?
So it's about like cultivating this deep inner satisfaction.
Yes.
That isn't dependent on what we have or don't have.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that our ultimate source of fulfillment, it isn't found in things.
Right.
But in our connection to something much bigger than ourselves.
It's a perspective shift, isn't it?
It is.
Instead of looking outward at what we lack,
yeah.
we turn inward and we focus on the abundance of God's love and grace that's already present within us.
Yes. And that doesn't mean that we deny our physical needs.
Right.
Or that we become passive.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing our limitations,
right.
and trusting that God will provide for us, you know, in his perfect timing and in his own way.
Dr. Oswalt seems to be suggesting that true abundance, it's not about having everything we want. It's about trusting that God is our shepherd.
Yeah.
The one who will ultimately care for us and guide us.
It's about finding that sweet spot, you know,
yeah.
where our desires line up with God's will, where we're no longer striving for more,
yeah.
but we're resting in the knowledge that he is enough.
And maybe that's the key to unlocking the abundance that God has for each of us.
Mm-hmm.
Not just material abundance,
right.
but that deep, you know, abiding joy and fulfillment that comes from knowing that we're loved, we're valued,
yeah.
and we have a purpose in his story.
It's a beautiful thought. And it all circles back to that concept of surrender.
Yeah.
The more we surrender to God's plan, the more we open ourselves up to experiencing the fullness of his abundance in every area of our lives.
It makes me think about Elisha and the, you know, seemingly ordinary individuals in those miracle stories. They didn't have grand titles or impressive credentials, but they were willing to be used by God.
Right.
And through their willingness, they became like these conduits of his extraordinary power.
Yeah.
It's incredible, you know, how God can use anyone anywhere to accomplish his purposes. It makes those miracles that seem impossible. You know, they feel a little bit more attainable. Like maybe we could be a part of that story too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. You know, we don't have to be prophets or have, you know, some huge calling to experience God's abundance and to be a part of, you know, his miraculous work.
Dr. Oswalt actually ends his lecture with this powerful image from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want.
Yeah.
And it feels fitting considering everything we've been talking about, you know,
yeah.
about provision and trusting in God's care.
Yeah. It's such a familiar passage, isn't it?
Yeah.
But Dr. Oswalt's perspective, it adds this new layer of depth.
Right.
He suggests that true contentment, it comes from recognizing God as our shepherd, you know,
yeah.
the one who guides us, provides for us, protects us. Right.
Like sheep following their shepherd, you know.
Yeah.
We don't need to worry about every little detail. We can just trust that we're being led to green pastures and still waters.
And that trust, it's not about being passive or, you know, burying our heads in the sand.
Right.
It's about acknowledging that we don't have all the answers.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You know, we have a shepherd who does.
He sees the bigger picture. Even when we can only see, you know, just the path right in front of us.
Yeah.
It goes back to that idea of surrendering our jars of oil,
mm-hmm.
you know, surrendering our limited perspective and allowing God to lead.
And as we surrender, you know, we begin to experience that deep contentment that Dr. Oswalt talks about.
Yeah.
A contentment that isn't shaken by our circumstances, but rooted in, you know, just this unwavering knowledge that we are cared for.
Which is such a powerful antidote to the anxiety and striving that often comes with, you know, just the pursuit of material abundance. We're reminded that our true security, it isn't found in possessions or achievements,
mm-hmm.
but in our relationship with a God who loves us unconditionally.
And that love, it compels him to act on our behalf, to provide for our needs, to guide us through those tough times and to ultimately bring us to a place of abundance, you know,
yeah.
spiritually and off even physically.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Dr. Oswalt's lecture, I think it's worth going back to that question that he asks. You know, if Elisha were to ask you, what do you have in your house? How would you answer?
What seemingly insignificant thing are you holding on to that God might want to use for his purposes? You know, maybe it's a talent or a resource, a connection, or simply a willing heart.
Whatever it is, we're challenged to offer it up to God, to trust that he can multiply it and use it in ways that we can't even imagine.
Perhaps that act of surrender, that's the first step towards unlocking the abundance that God has for us, you know, not just the abundance of resources, but the abundance of joy and peace and purpose that comes from aligning our lives with his.
It's a beautiful challenge, and I hope it encourages you to look at your own life with fresh eyes, you know, recognizing the potential for God to work in and through you, starting with the seemingly ordinary things that you already have. Until next time, may you discover the extraordinary possibilities that exist when you partner with a God who delights in doing the impossible.